There's some old Wellington walking boots. And they were the Mason shoes. Y'all remember the old Mason shoe company? I think they're still going. I don't know. And the dad always liked classic shoes, whether it be Johnston Murphy or Mason or, I don't know, would you call it? Yeah, Red Wing would be pretty classic. And then Ariat boots and whatnot. That's what you see in a lot of the Westerns and whatnot. But this morning, everything I got on, somebody give me. Now, I put the gravy stain on the tie this morning, so I have to own up to that one. Margie gave me the gravy to put on my tie. It's all her fault. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain my ways before him. There was great victory won at the cross. Greater victory won in his burial. And the greatest of all victories when he arose again. And I always have to add this to that. He arose again before they rolled the stone back. Amen. Nothing keeps him down. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. That's how I know when it's springtime. Amen. The winter's over. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joys shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I'm going to try it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. if you would this morning. Luke chapter 14, if you would this morning. I got to get better on that one note, don't I, baby? I will, Rachel. I got to learn how to sing like a girl when I get to that part. Amen. Mr. Kyle, would you please come up here a moment? Luke chapter 14. Now, many of you are going to be saying it's Resurrection Sunday. It is. It is Easter. Why aren't we talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, I learned from a couple writers and a couple old preachers that they said the smartest thing a preacher can do is read his text and make a beeline for the cross. That's what Spurgeon said. R.A. Torrey said that in a true man's message, Jesus Christ arisen again ought to be the title and message of everything we preach. Men like some of the old preachers that Brother Philip Keller, Lessons from a Sheepdog, he wrote other books. He mentions that the cross, the burial, and the resurrection, and the blood of Jesus Christ ought to be only 4 points that we preach on. But as we come to Luke chapter 14, I think you'll understand the morning's message along those lines. For in it, I'm glad this morning that because of Jesus Christ, I have a seat at the table. Isn't that a blessing to know? Much like Mephibosheth was always given a seat at the king's table, because of Jesus Christ, I've been given a seat at God's table all the time. Matter of fact, that's what church is really all about, beloved. Especially under the preaching and the teaching of a man of God that loves the Lord and that you pray for. I'm thankful to know I've got prayer warriors in this room. Miss Mary Lynn's probably one of the greatest prayer warriors I've ever had in my life. Along with Abuela. Sister Karis must be hurting this morning or she'd be here. Y'all have become prayer warriors, Sister Rachel, Brother Ray, and I appreciate that greatly. But here in chapter 14, the Lord teaches us a principle. And in that principle, I see we can see a blessing in our resurrection day. And Brother Scott, thank you for making my face look beautiful on the internet. I appreciate it. Or handsome or whatever. I don't know if I want to be beautiful. Verse number 7. And put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, why thou art bidden of any man to a wedding? Sit not down in the highest room. He says, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. Could you imagine them running in looking for a chair, and they think they're the guest of honor? Maybe you've done that, come to find out that you weren't the guest of honor. You know, there's a lot of folks on this earth that think that their presence is needed for you to have any happiness or joy. Aren't you glad that, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad folks can be happy anywhere without me or you really there? Now, I like to be there when folks are laughing. I like to be there when folks are enjoying the things of God. I'm glad when folks can clap a little. You know, fellas, we got a lot of work to do on. Now you see my world, all right? These Yankees up north, they don't know how to. By the way, my knee's feeling so good, baby. I was tapping with that left leg. I was doing real good. Beloved, why are we in such a hurry to be at the main seat of the table? Did y'all know we're not worthy of any seat at God's table? But because of Jesus Christ, we're made worthy. He says in verse number 9, and he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And they begin with shame to take the lowest room. There's no more seats left up in the main room. So now you're going to have to go to the back room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This morning, you have a seat at the table. If you notice that the Lord Jesus has been exalted. In Philippians chapter number 2, we find that the Lord Jesus emptied himself, not of being God, But he came to this old world. Now, y'all, I've heard stories about heaven and read stories about heaven. And coming to this earth by the Lord Jesus was not heavenly. No. Can you imagine him coming down to creation rather than being in heaven's glory? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says that there, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man those things that God has for them that love him. Can you imagine the beautiful flowers? And in heaven's glory, they're more beautiful. I haven't got a clue. My poor little pea brain just blows up every time I think about it. That an infinite God would have anything to do with me and give me an infinite seat at the table. This morning, as we think about this, the Lord Jesus has been exalted. He took on flesh and he dwelt amongst us. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. In Philippians 2, took on the form of a servant. And he took on the curse of the cross. Beloved, this morning you have a seat at the table. One dear ma'am mentioned to the Lord Jesus that she was a dog. And even she said to the master, but the master, even the dogs eat of the crumb of the master's table. And she said, no greater faith have I found. You have a seat at the table. You're not outside looking in, Christian. You're on the inside. Now, as we saw a couple messages ago, that we need to be bidding them to the wedding. Need to be going out and getting them in on this side of the door and not that side of the door, because there's coming a day, much like in Noah's day when the door was shut and so many were on the outside. I praise the Lord that through King Jesus, I'm on the inside. So here, with that in mind, we are always interested in where we sit at the dinner table. Now, I need to correct you. Yes, there is such thing as a breakfast table. But I want you to know it's either a breakfast table, dinner table, or supper table. There's no such thing as a lunch table. Now, I know we've gone over this many times, and you all are rebellious and stubborn and refuse to call it dinner. So for the sake of today, I'll call it lunch, just so you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, I don't mind taking a lunch box, but when I take my lunch box, I open it up to eat my dinner. You say, well, that ain't fair. It's my message. And when God calls you to preach, well, you can preach it your way. But did you ever notice we're always interested in where we sit at the table? When I was a kid, I had to sit at the kids' table. So the question might be, do we sit at the kids' table? I don't know about you, but any table in heaven where I get to break bread with the master, I don't care what table it is. Because I have found that every place in that table is a place of honor. So wait a minute. It'll be a place of glory to King Jesus. It is. But to imagine hellfire rather than heaven's glory will make you understand it. You don't mind where you sit in heaven. Do we sit next to the guest of honor or the head of the table? One time we were at a men's, it was a farm, and they called it a halfway farm, basically, where guys out of jails and prisons, and it was in Tallahassee, Alabama, just outside of Montgomery. And my dear friend George Trapani was there, and he was the head of it. And he had come up and preach a couple times, and I just don't like what he did. On day number two, we'd had about 3 or 4 days worth of preaching and just trying to mentor some fellas coming out of jail and trying to be a help to them. They would have a dinner, and he would go, and they would make up a nice dinner of maybe ham and taters or whatnot. But for the preacher, the cook would make, and my steak that I asked for was a ribeye. George says, "What steak's your favorite?" And I said, "Ribeye. Is anybody else ribeye? When you can afford it?" Well, this gentleman hadn't been a master chef, and he was there with George, and he'd been in prison in Montgomery area for a few years and got out, and just a real blessed soul, gotten saved by the Lord Jesus. And what I struggled with is they had one chair, and it was like a king's chair, and the preacher and all that. And what George was trying to build was respect for the man of God, respect for the word of God. And I sat there and enjoyed my steak, but the problem I had was King Jesus ought to be sitting at this chair. But then he reminded me, David, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And on this earth, as we exalt the Lord Jesus today and exalt the Word of God and the good news, because the bad news is nothing I really want to be a part of. That's why I want to exude the good news. I want to be bathed in it. I want to be that sponge that's dripped and it's got just water coming out of it type of thing, where we can show others that Jesus Christ is the head. But sometimes we ask the question, do we sit like that? Do I get the guest of honor position? Do I get the head of the table? I think King Arthur had it right in the round table idea. Now, for many of you, yes, there's a lot of fiction. They go to a King Artorius in England about the time of the Roman, and their building of Hadrian's Wall and many other things there in early B.C. And they try to take that time period, and that's how the King Arthur legend was built. But it was true they had a round table. Isn't it amazing when you go off to certain things, there's got to be one head honcho? Well, I don't know about you. I don't want to be a head honcho. There's too much decision making. And then if it's the wrong decision, guess who it comes back to? It's on your shoulders. I don't know what I said this morning, but I said, if anybody else wants to pastor today, you're welcome. We had a little bit of a situation, and I pray we handled it with the grace of Almighty God. But you ever ask that? Where do I get to sit? Where do I get to sit? Problem is, we think we're important. King Jesus is the important one. All we are is little lights shining forth His light. We are the trumpet in a chorus, in an orchestra. They were asking me, where do you play that bass line for In Christ Alone at? I hear horns. I hear the trumpet of the king. I hear the coronation of the master. From the grave, he comes up out of the grave. I don't think that was very gentle. I got a feeling there was some rumbling and there was some dirt moving. And I got a feeling there was some caskets opening, or however way they buried them. And then they went into town. I don't know about y'all, but I think that'd make me want to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. But the sad shame of it all is that the devil and the Judaizers and the Greeks and the Hebrews and many of the other family, the Romans, squashed the truth. They didn't want them to know that there were bodies coming out. See, they wanted the head of the table. Yes, there's some advantages to the head of the table, as I mentioned before. That beautifully cooked ribeye steak. Hang on a minute. Sister Mary Lynn, I'm going to have a spiritual moment. Glory to God. Our deaf brethren and sister, and they do this. Because they can't say a whole lot. Our Pentecostal brethren, glory to God! Some of our holiness folks, they take off and run. Now, I would run this morning, but my boss lady's in the room. And my grandmaster's in the room. And Abuela's in the room. And if I went to running, y'all be mad at me and beat me with sticks. I know how this works. Why is it we are so concerned about where we sit at the table? We oftentimes say, thank you, Lord, for this food that we're about to partake. And thank you, God, for giving us something to eat. There are some prayers that I've heard from my Catholic brethren. Yes, there are many in the Catholic Church that believe in Jesus Christ. There are. There's believers everywhere. Now, there are some cults I don't think there are, but that's my opinion and not for this message. But there are some rote prayers that they have for grace at the table and whatnot. And they're beautiful. They're from the heart. Now, if it's a rote prayer that you just keep saying over and over again, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Those kind of things, you know, that can become so monotone. There's no worship in that. But boy, there's heartfelt grace being given when you say, God, thank you for this nutrition you're about to give us. In that, I ask this question, will you get the best of the supper, or will there be anything left when it's my turn, is our philosophy. Will we get the best of the supper? I remember when I first come to Walker, we would have dinners and whatnot, and we'd bring some deviled eggs. And a lot of times, as the end of the line got there, the deviled eggs were gone. Well, one young lady, and they were on their last Sunday night here, and they'd worked with the youth group for a number of years, and they had lived with Brother Barton. The young lady said to me, she said, "Pastor, thank you for letting me go first." I said, well, yeah, it's your night. We want to say thank you. "No, you don't understand. I get to have a deviled egg today. Because usually I take the back of the line, and by the time I get up there, the deviled eggs are gone. By the way, they are no longer called deviled eggs. Forgive me, Lord. Those are heavenly eggs." Amen? Had you ever thought at a dinner time, will I get the best or will I get leftovers? We even have this problem of, will there be anything left? Now, I grew up, and it wasn't so much in our home, but I can remember going to different places, an old German family, the Garver family being German. You know, it used to be that the men ate first and the women and children ate last. They ate whatever was left over, and the men would eat to themselves and the women and children would eat to themselves. Now, I don't know what it was like in other homes. I just remember that. Now, with Grandma and Grandpa Mary in Wiltermude, they were very Dutch. Grandma was English. I'm a mutt. Y'all know that, right? I'm a mutt. English, Dutch, German, and Scot. That's right. Grandmaster DeVito and I, Brother Ray and I have a thing in common. We're both have Scot in us. He might have a little more than I've got, but. And then there's men named Scot that got a lot of Scot in them, probably. But you'd wonder if he was going to get anything, or if there'd be anything left. Would there be any steak left? Would there be any? Our Lord brings a principle here in verse 11. "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased." This word abased means to be brought down. It has the idea of being humbled. Whew. Anybody ever been humbled? Can you imagine those that run in to get the head of the table for the master of the house to come up and say, "Caden, you're over here. This is for Kevin." "What? I was here first." And we have that mentality in life, don't we? We've seen it. We see it today amongst the elites. And I don't care whether it's a politician or it's an athlete or it's this or that. Listen, this idea, and I get so irritated because it's important to David, of who the greatest basketball player of all time is. Now, I would agree with the fact that Michael Jordan was a great basketball player. My favorite to watch, and I miss him. LeBron James has said from his mouth, "I am the greatest of all time." If you have to say you're the greatest of all time, you're not. And really, in all seriousness, what does that have to do with the price of tea or eggs? What does that have to do with the price of gas? Nothing. But it's amazing to me how people will make money on that argument and that debate. Who's the greatest of all time? Well, you could go back to the 50s and watch Bill Russell, who was a giant at the time that played for Boston Celtics. You could go back to the 60s and see Wilt Chamberlain or Oscar Robinson and some of these great players of the 60s. Or you can go into the 70s with Dr. J and many of the other players. Or the 80s with, of course, Larry Bird, then Irvin Johnson. Okay, it's not Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. It's Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Okay, I just want to get that straight. Why do we have to have that conversation? Can you really and honestly make a solid debate on who they call the word GOAT, greatest of all time? Does it matter? No, it does not matter. The Lord teaches to be at the table, not worried about what seat you're in. If you've ever been hungry and didn't have a dime to your name, were you not glad to be invited to a table? My friend Chris, a couple years ago, he and I become friends, and pray for him, just keep praying for him. And he came and ate at our dinner table. And he was a little skittish. He sat by the door and whatnot because he didn't know, man, you know, we didn't really know each other well. I think what it was, he knew who we were, and he's afraid of the Sunday school lessons he had learned would come back up, and they have. I've heard from his mouth the other day, "Well, I guess if God willing." So what'd you say, Chris? The Lord teaches us to be at the table. Now, I want to say this. right now, the master's table, you can get to. But there's coming a day when our Lord says enough's enough. According to this Bible, the dead that did not receive the Lord Jesus and the living will see a great white throne judgment. And we can argue all day long as to when it's going to happen and this and that. I just know that at the end it's going to happen. And they will be cast into the lake of fire that were not saved, had not accepted Jesus Christ the Savior. And then those who have been saved by the King, by the Master, by the Lord Jesus, forever will be at His table. A table that never runs out. A table where the best of the best is always there. I mean, we found that out in John chapter 2 when the Lord made the water into wine. Even the master of the house said, wait a minute, y'all left the best for last? That's why the old preacher preached the message, keep your fork, the best is yet to come. That's why I ate my piece of cheesecake today, last. Had some strawberry in it. Oh, hallelujah. And no, I don't need no more. I've had enough for... Okay, I'll go on. We're so worried about what seats sometimes that we forget we're at the table. Why is that? Well, as our Lord mentions here, He says, whosoever exalteth himself shall be made abased. Arrogance forces us to want to be the most important. Now, I know you all are super spiritual and you're spiritual giants. I know that. So you don't think like David does, and that's probably a good thing. But every now and then I'll say, well, Lord, what about me? What about you? And then He reminds me it ain't about you. I told my brothers when Dad passed away, I said, I know I'm the oldest brother, but I don't know how to be the older brother in this thing. And that's what my brothers, we were out in the garage there talking a little bit. And Bill and Chris both said, well, Dave, we'll just all do it together. That blessed my heart. Because my dad, bless his heart, with his personality, he would bring more division than he brought unity. But I've noticed here in the last 4 or 5 months, my dad's brought unity. This morning, now my friend of mine says these are 1970s boots. But this morning, I have got my dad's old brown boots on. Here, let me do this. I bet those boots are 20 years old. Now, Miss Jamie thought they'd be hot because they got a fur lining to them. But they got a fur lining in them to protect your skin. Now, I will have to say they got a zipper on the side. I don't know if I'm too keen about that. My mom was able to send each one of us a little bit of money. But her and Dad had decided this is what we were doing when one of us passed. And the church has been blessed by it. My home has been blessed by it. Matter of fact, I even went so far as to finally get myself an electric golf cart. And you ought to see, anytime anybody wants to ride it, don't come over. I'm just kidding. I'll be right over. My whole point to this is, arrogance forces us to think we're important, and all that does is create division. In churches, and I think what's different about our church is that none of us refuse to sit at the head of the table. We want King Jesus at the head of the table. Let Him rule and reign in your heart according to Colossians 13. Let Him rule your heart. In the last 9-10 years, I pray my heart's got softer to the point where it's instead of out of meanness, it's more out of compassion as it is anything. Hey, in this room, there's nobody in here who can be meaner than me. Just the truth. I know who I am. That's why I'm grateful for the ones that God's put around me. And I don't care where we're sitting at the table. I'm just glad I got a seat at the table. Arrogance deceives us into being greedy. I see that in immaturity and in youth. Instead of one cheeseburger, you might have to have 2 or 3 cheeseburgers. when somebody else doesn't even get in line and there's nothing left, but you've had a fill, when in all reality, all you needed was one. Miss Jamie and I have figured out that when we go anywhere anymore, we're just going to buy a meal and share it. Because generally, if we order two meals, we eat half of it and take the other half home. Anybody else like that? Or it winds up in your eggs the next morning. Amen. Arrogance deceives us into being greedy. I need, I need, I want, I want, I want, I need, I want, I want, I want. Someone had said to me, we've had a lot of martial arts equipment, praise the Lord, given to us. And we've got more than we need. More than I ever wanted. And God's just been so good to us. Now, there are some, I gotta have one more. If you have one set of boxing gloves, I gotta have 10 more. I love my dad dearly, but he couldn't have just one. He had to have two, three, four, five. And then Miss Jamie's saying, yeah, how many guitars do you own? How many golf clubs do you have? Thankfully, I only have one wife. Amen. I sure don't want two of them. Yes, ma'am. But arrogance, it deceives us. It forces us to think, want to be most important, but it deceives us into greed. Why? Because that's human nature. Well, I'm not that away. Yes, you are. Oh no, I have no greed to me. Uh-huh. And what is your vice? Maybe you have a bunch of angels around the house, candles around the house. Right now I have Amazon boxes at the house. Micah says, why, Dad, why are you saving it? I don't know, maybe I'll need it. You need that like you need another hole in your head. Arrogance deceives us not in being greedy, but arrogance deceives us into being mean. That's mine. Remember, we talk about jealousy. Jealousy is both righteous and unrighteous. God is a jealous God. I am His, and the devil ain't going to get Him. Whereas envy says, that's... You see that phone that Ray had? Ray Mills don't even know how to use it. I'm going to go. That's his phone. I'm going to get it. Envy is never righteous. Amen. Within the building of the word envious, within it's the word hate. When you're envious of others, you hate them. So see, arrogance deceives into being mean. Have you ever noticed that at Christmas time and at Easter, everybody's just happy and friendly? Happy Easter, happy Easter, happy Easter. And I chime back, a happy Easter and happy Resurrection Day and God bless you. We are so thrilled, especially when we kindly give. There's two bags of Reese's eggs, you know, the chocolate eggs and all. And there's two, and you want them both. But you take the one and put it in the cart. And then the next person by, hey, I just want you to know that I didn't take two so you could have one of these bags. Then you stretch your spiritual suspenders. And you become godly all of a sudden. And the next day, that individual begins to cuss and fuss from when they wake up to when they go to sleep. I haven't figured that out yet. Here lately, because of some of the things that Dad did, I'm being blessed by them. My dad had a struggle with, if he bought one, he had to have two. And generally, when he bought two, he had to have three. Mom and I sat down and talked about all the guns that he had. And thankfully, Mom was able to sell all of his guns. He had a couple left, and I've got one sold and some other things going on. It was a blessing. I said, well, see, Mom, Dad didn't buy stocks and bonds. He bought guns and ammo. It deceives you into being greedy. It deceives you into being mean. And it deceives you into being devious. If you're not careful, trying to exalt yourself will make you a devious individual. I can't stand being around those type of people. They're manipulative, right? And they don't like me because you see through that. There are individuals in my life, and I pray I am with all individuals, but you better be straightforward and you better be truthful. I feel like that's what we have for a church. I'm trying the best way to figure this out, but and how to say it. So I'll just try to say it this way. In our church, the baloney meter works really good. I'm trying not to use BS meter, babe, but I, you know, y'all know what I mean by that. We're not gullible and naive. Now, there are some areas that we are. But so many people become devious and they're bullies to those that are naive and gullible. Jamie was getting her hair done down in Pensacola at this one place, and I think Christy was your hairdresser. And I'd walked in. I'd been walking the mall there at that University Mall, I think it was, in Pensacola there. And so I decided I'd walk on up. She's getting her hair done in the back. And I noticed that the girl behind the desk was brand new. Never seen her there before. So I walked up to her, and Jamie and Christy, they're in the back. They don't even know I'm there. I said, "Young lady, do y'all have that new cream?" And I want it in a lavender scent. And it's supposed to, you put it on wrinkles and fat, and it makes you like 25 again. Well, I've never heard of that. You know, I'm pretty sure they make that now. Now this, you have to understand, in this hair salon, there's all their product. And I mean, I had her fooled. And I'm giggling on the inside. So she went to the back to ask Christy if they had any. And I remember her pointing her head, "No, we don't. He's messing with you." I had me a laugh. And she had a laugh later on. But you know what, friends? You and I are that gullible and naive at times. And if you're not careful, the devil will deceive you. And he'll be so devious, he got you. And that's when he becomes that roaring lion. You know, a lion only roars after it's pounced its prey. Arrogance. Our Lord's trying to help us with it. Even when he died on the cross, the humility that he showed, the greatest of all humilities, he's hanging on a cross for the whole world to see. Are you listening? Naked. Did you hear me? Jamie and I were kidding. She'll kid with me. She said, I say, "Well, what should I wear?" "Well, preferably clothes." I was the kid that mom had a hard time keeping clothes on. I'm not trying to give you anything to think about or any pictures here. How humbling would it be to be hung on Calvary in such a position that everybody could see his nakedness? Arrogance destroys those who exalt themselves. Y'all can take the word "r" out of there. That shouldn't even be in there. That's terrible English. But I are confident that arrogance destroys those who exalt themselves. The greatest example of that is Lucifer in Isaiah. "I will ascend up like the Most High." But how many times has that happened on this world that you know you saw somebody, and unfortunately you even thought in your mind, "Well, I can't wait till they fall." Never felt like that? They're just full of baloney? Well, the Lord teaches us to be at the table, not worried about what seat we're in. So on this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday, you have a seat at the table, friend. You have a seat at heaven's table if you know Jesus Christ. You have a seat at the Father's table, beloved. You have a seat at the King's table. Isn't that a blessing to know? Amen. This is my 50th Easter in the church. 50 Easters I've been around the church house. I've not seen it all, but I've seen quite a bit. Families that think they run the church. If you're a family in the church and you think you run it, you might want to quit. Because the church is not to be run by any flesh. The church is to be run by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that he's the only one that keeps your table full? If you get a loaf of bread, it's because God allowed it. If you get some eggs, it's because God wanted you to have that. And it is amazing to me how many times we think we earned it for ourselves. But in all reality, God did it. You have a seat at the Father's table, Christian. In this story, he said how they run in to get their seats, and when they should have just waited a minute and let the Master sit them. Do y'all remember the argument that John and James had with the Lord Jesus? "Where will I get to sit in heaven, Lord?" John might have wanted to be on the right side and James on the left side. He said, "It's not for me to give. Why would we be worried about what seat we have? Every seat is an important seat at God's table. Yes, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gave us a living Savior forever. By the way, He has no plans of dying. He's not dying again. Mm-mm. He arose again. He died one time, and that's all it needed. According to the book of Hebrews, that one time of Him dying and shedding His blood was more than all the bulls and goats and lambs and doves, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Done! It is finished, He said. Every seat's important at the master's table. You ever been at a big table? And you see the head of honor down here, and you see this one over here, and you're seated all the way at the back, and you need binoculars to see at the head of the table. The Bible tells me that God's everywhere. I have a feeling that includes heaven. So wherever seat you're at in heaven's glory, you're sitting by the master. Oh, man. Beloved, this morning, every seat's important. Well, I go back to a point I'd made earlier only to say this. Not only is every seat is important at God's table, but the food is always full on heaven's buffet. Now, I'd like to wonder what might be on that buffet. Jamie, honey, I think it's either your noodles or Grandma Marion's noodles. Two of the greatest noodle makers I've ever been around. And I have the waist to prove it. I've had to buy new breeches every now and then. And then there were some breeches I outgrew. So my waist, by the way, I feel fat today. But I'm taking care of that problem. This old knee's allowed me. You know what? My new knee put on 25 pounds. I'm just kidding. It only put on 18, thank you. But it's my new knee's fault that I have some junk in the trunk. But the food is always full at the heaven's buffet. There's always angels' eggs. There's always beef and noodles. There's always biscuits and gravy. There's always, hallelujah, for 50 years I've known this, Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies and Little Debbie Nutty Buddies. And even now I find out that Oreo did its work. Nabisco finally got it right. It's not a single stuff. It's not double stuff. I was told yesterday, and I did not know this, they make mega stuff. Leave me alone. It's my message, Don. If you want to write it next time, I'll let you. Hey, are y'all getting a point yet? Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, you got a seat at the table. Now, I do say this. It is contingent on whether or not you've allowed Jesus Christ to save your soul. I am thankful to know that salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of me and it's not of you. But it is of everything the Lord Jesus has done. And because of that, because of His shed blood, in that empty tomb, I am saved by Him. I cannot save me. I don't have to do cartwheels down an aisle. Baptism and the water of baptism does not wash your sin away. But salvation is in no other name but His. Food's always full. I finish with this because Brother Ray's about to fall asleep. Mills, that is. There's two Rays in the building. Well, you know what? Brother DeVito might be going to sleep too. I don't know yet. Every seat is important at God's table. Do you see that? And the food is always full at heaven's buffet. But the third and final thing is the greatest dessert. Can you imagine a cheesecake in heaven? Coconut cream pies in heaven. Double fudge sundae on top of fudge with more fudge to come. Is that good, honey? With the big old cookie dough in it? Oh. I know, Kevin. You know what the greatest dessert is? The greatest dessert is to be at the Master's table forever. Forever. I miss Grandma Marion's table. We used to go over to the Isaac Walton there in Brazil, Indiana, and she'd just have a mess of food. She'd cook for 300 or 400. They had a moose lodge there, and they would meet and have these. And I loved being a part of that because I was the grandson that they spoiled. David, little David, could have whatever he wanted. Grandpa, need another zero candy bar. Grandpa, need an oatmeal cream pie. And Grandma and Grandpa, they had a cooler, and it had RC Coca-Cola in the bottles. He had the orange, and I don't remember what brand. It might have been a Faygo. It might have been something else. I can't remember. Some of you old-timers might be able to remember the different brands that we had back in the early 70s. Knee-highs, thank you. What were the other ones? Knee-highs and... Shasta wasn't back then that far, was it? And Faygo was... Okay, knee-high. We'll just stay knee-high, all right? Great knee-high and orange. And orange was my favorite. Crush, we had Crush. And I'd say, Grandpa, yeah, we did. We had some bottles. Matter of fact, in Indiana, we had Old Dad's root beer. Old Dad's, I don't know if you knew. And then there was a pretzel company. It was just down the road, and we'd get those tins of pretzels. And I remember as a boy, those were always full. Well, Grandma and Grandpa's table is no longer there. I miss the Sunday mornings that Mom would make beef and noodles as I was growing up. She'd make pizza and other things that she made. You know, I kid her about it to this day. I had to go to Pensacola Christian just to get my first piece of broccoli. That's why I didn't have broccoli and cauliflower because my mom didn't like it. But we had cheeseburgers and fries. Amen. Well, when I go home now, Mom likes to go to dinner somewhere. She got a couple places that she really likes. We went to Cracker Barrel and was in Indianapolis. The sad shame of it was there's a Waffle House just a couple doors down. Of course, the DeVitos are like, no Waffle Houses, Dave. She didn't want to go there. My brother Chris, now, if he'd have been with us, we could have got the Waffle House because Chris is my mom's favorite son. But I digress. So in reality, Mama's table isn't there like it used to be. But every time I open my Bible, every time I pray, every time I mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Father's table is always there. Hey, Christian, don't worry about where you're sitting. Just know you got a seat at the table. It's full, it's forever, and it's with King Jesus. When you're down and out and hurting, remember that. When you're hungry spiritually, which you ought to be, go sit at the Master's table. He'll let you. Go eat of the Master's bread. Go drink of the Master's water. It'll be honey to your soul. The Bible says marrow to your bones. You got a seat at the Master's table. Father, thank you for the word and thank you for the message. I pray, God, it's been a help today on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, this time that we glorify and praise you. I do ask you, Lord, to challenge us to worship and glorify King Jesus every day for his resurrection. But especially today, Lord Jesus, my King and my friend, thank you. And may we all exalt you, King Jesus, and allow ourselves to be humbled in thy presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, let's stand to our feet. If the Lord is working in your heart, would you come this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you come this morning? I don't know if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would pray that everyone in this room knows the Lord Jesus. But at this time, if you don't know for sure, I can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Because see, the salvation that the Lord Jesus gives is a know-so salvation. He writes that we may know that we have eternal life. It's not only a know-so salvation, but it is an individual. It's not a collective. Just because my grandma was saved doesn't mean I was. And then, this know-so salvation is an eternal one. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ saved me in August 6, 1975. And by His grace and His mercy, He not only saved me, but He sealed me until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If you don't know Him, I can take a Bible and show you how you can. On this Easter Sunday, on this glorious Resurrection Sunday, if you don't know Him, you can. No one else comes in a few moments. We'll end invitation. God's dealing with your heart. Let Him. Let Him help you. Well, if you look this